Hey, what's going on? I'm Tyler Woods. Welcome to the Movie Review Podcast. Now, of course, I was asked, like, you know, what do I want to title this podcast episode? And I figure, like, seeing as though at the time of this recording, it is May 31st, why not call it the end of May? Why not? I think that's a little bit appropriate to what we're going to be covering later on this episode. But this is what's to come. I got a lot of reviews going on for the new Netflix series that just released, Eric. Then I'm going to be reviewing If, Garfield, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Furiosa, Mad Max. But is it just me, or has these line of films in May been a bit dry lately? What's going on here? All right, let's start with our first review for Netflix's Eric. Let's play that trailer.
48 hours since Edgar Anderson was last seen around 8 a.m., I wrote to school. We're urging anybody with information, however small, please come forward, pick up the phone, and help us bring Edgar home.
Letting him walk to school? Is that a decision you regret?
Tell your mom what you're working on, kid.
His name is Eric.
Missing persons, Detective LaDroit.
Mark up every door you've knocked on, every area you've searched.
Mr. Anderson, do you have any comment?
Press are going crazier with us.
Do you even have a suspect?
We're ruling nothing out.
They're saying that if he was alive, that you would have found him by now.
You have to trust me.
What are you doing with Edgar's drawings?
I'm working on a new puppet. If we can get him on the show, then Edgar will see him. He'll know how much we want him to come home.
You're going crazy.
He's the monster that every child wants when they are lost and need to be found. This is Edgar's idea. I want to make it real. Gets kind of lonely in this city. It's so dark underground.
You're not alone, Eric.
The kid's been gone for over a week.
Don't give up on him.
Eric is gonna help me find Edgar.
Oh, Vincent, Vincent, Vincent.
All right. Yeah, how'd that sound? That actually sounded pretty, all right. Yeah. Very mystery, drama, impactful. All right. Yeah. This is starring Benedict Cumberbatch. If you didn't hear what that was about. Desperate father alongside with a tenacious cop battling his own demons on the streets of 1980s New York as he's searching for his missing 9-year-old son, Edgar. This is a limited series, like 6 episodes long, runtime for each of them about an hour each. This is definitely a very enthralling little show over here. It's like just for the ride to experience this. Very character driven with each arcs. It's gut punch after gut punch with each character while enjoyably teetering on this hope and despair narrative. But I was a little bit disappointed because it's set in 1980s, right? So it's like it didn't really explore its period setting. And while there are only 6 episodes, I kind of feel could have dropped one or made them maybe, I don't know, probably 40 minutes each. But overall, I felt satisfied because, yeah, I binge watched this last night. Definitely give it a watch this weekend. 4 out of 5. All right, let's move on to our next one for If.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real? And when their kids grow up, they're forgotten.
Are any of them scary?
Worse. Desperate.
Question, why did these kids forget about us in the first place?
Last week, I just started falling apart.
They're sucking the oxygen out of the room.
Honestly, Doc, if this is how it's going to be, I'm just going to wheel myself back and plug in.
I can make your hands clap.
We've started the matchmaking agency to help IFs find new kids.
Or we just disappear.
Blue. Happy place, happy place.
Coffee and croissants. Coffee and croissants.
I can help you.
How?
So I'm a kid.
You are the chosen one.
Nope, nope. Let's not give her a complex.
Good luck, Short Stack. It's all up to you.
No pressure.
Cock and dagger!
Hope this works.
All right, let's find these ifs some kids.
Keith! What kind of a kid creates an invisible if?
I can find anyone.
Anywhere!
He got him enough.
Thanks for doing this.
Don't look him in the eye.
Which one?
Yeah, that's gonna grow right back.
Am I disappearing? Oh!
All right, I'm not ready for this.
I need to throw up, or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
You have to help them.
Yes, we do.
I'm not gonna ask you again. Put some pants on. You're freaking everyone out.
How'd it go? Oh, oh my God.
Does this make us partners?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, shall we?
Keith!
And Mom said too much candy isn't good for your tummy, but I said, oh my God.
Wow, my eyes can taste it.
I am so sorry.
You don't taste that in your eyeballs?
All right. So yeah, IF is about a young girl who goes through a difficult experience, begins to see everyone's imaginary friends, or, you know, they call them, you know, IFs, IFs, who has been left behind as their real life friends have grown up. This is starring Ryan Reynolds and directed and written by John Krasinski. Like, wow, that's a great combination over here. So yeah, the trailer looked good. All right. I'm not going to lie. That trailer really made this movie present itself with a very unique take on imaginary friends for definitely a kid's movie, when actually it's more about the adults who have grown up and forgot what it means to be a kid. And yeah, I know you're probably going like, hey, you forgot to mention the obvious elephant in the room. Of course. Yeah. So, it's kind of like, do you remember this show back on Cartoon Network called Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends? I do remember watching that in my later, you know, teen years. I mean, well, yeah, that was an okay show. I mean, to watch when nothing else was on, it kind of just rips off that whole idea. But yeah, right here, when it's like, you know, you got this family friendly feature that's supposed to be geared towards kids, it's more geared towards adults under this guise. It does take some very interesting creativeness with its creatures and CGI, but it kind of feels sloppy overall, like, you know, a bunch of ideas mashed together scenario, if you know what I mean. But it leaves its mark with you with how standout it is compared to most family flicks. And it was definitely fun to guess which celebrity was voicing an imaginary character, because there was a lot. 3 out of 5. All right, let's see what's next. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're already here. Oh, boy, this is going to be fun.
Wait here, Junior. I'll be right back.
Oh. Oh. You hungry, little guy?
One familia style lasagna to go.
I'm gonna name you Garfield.
Let's get it.
Good morning.
You deserve to be seen with somebody as
We're gonna need the big scale.
Does she need to announce it to the whole office?
Say when.
Never, John. Bury me in cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Life here is pretty near perfect.
Little did I know, it was all about to collapse. Odie, I'm dreaming again. Slap me across the face.
I think this is a case of mistaken identity. You must be looking for another gorgeous, lovable kitty cat.
Big bag hunter with the bow. Big man, drop it.
Come on, Junior.
You.
Huh?
This is Vic, my father.
Welcome back, Victor.
Listen, I need your help.
Get them!
I haven't seen you for years, and when I do, you're on the run from a deranged cat.
We need to toughen you up.
Hey, I know tough, Vic.
You've obviously never been in an Olive Garden that's run out of breadsticks. Follow my lead. Oh, cheddar. Probably one of my top 26 favorite cheeses.
Mm. My orange tabby and my dog are both missing.
Your call is very important. There are
1,046
people ahead of you.
Drop them now!
We have to go save my dad.
Oh, that cat's a goner.
You think you can battle these villains on your own?
If I don't make it back,
tell my story.
Hey, little mama, yeah, you heard about me.
Part of me wants to help him.
No, this is how he learns.
No, please, no. Ow, it's so hot. Ow, it's really hurting. Ow, ow, ow.
You saw nothing.
All right, that was Garfield, starring Chris Pratt after, Garfield's unexpected reunion with his long-lost father, Ragged Alley Cat Vic. He and his buddy Odie are forced from their perfectly pampered lives to join Vic on a risky heist. Boy, that sounds exactly like Garfield, right? From like all the comic strips you've read or everything you've seen about Garfield. Now, okay, look, you know I love Chris Pratt. And I know, like, you know, the whole thing. Oh, he can't be voicing everything. I'm kind of on that one this time around. I mean, he was okay as Mario. I didn't get all the criticism. But here, yeah, definitely not meant for him. And like I said, I love Chris Pratt. I've said this many times on this podcast, but this was just not his role. Not to mention, I mean, this whole movie is unnecessary, especially to be a theatrical feature. It's like, it feels like a whole straight-to-video release. But this is a kid's film. That's why I'm hating it. Garfield is a character. Your grandparents know. It should be targeting all generations who have grown up with, you know, this character. I mean, remember the Peanuts movie? That's a better example. It's like Garfield, you know, what is Garfield, okay? A lazy, trouble-causing cat to John. That's what it should be. I gotta give it 2 out of 5. Yeah, I was really hating this film. Like, the only thing is, like, okay, the animation did look kind of okay. But still, no. 2 out of 5. Definitely not. Bad movie. All right, let's move on.
Son. Your father, he waits.
Much to learn. Much to teach. There are dangers beyond our village.
What a wonderful day!
They're taking your clan.
You chose a human over an ape.
This was a human place. It is not yours.
It is now, isn't it?
The elders did not tell us everything about this world.
Nor bend for your king.
Never. Get tickets now.
Well, of course, it's already out in theaters. But yeah, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is directed by Wes Bell. Many years after the reign of Caesar, a young ape goes on a journey that will lead him to question everything that he's been taught about the past and make choices that will define a future for apes and humans alike. This is starring a very well-experienced cast of talent. It's like you really have to see everything to know where they're from, and I could just be here forever. When I saw that they were going to be continuing these ape movies, there was a lot of uncertainty because at that time, they were made by 20th Century Fox. They're not around anymore, but known as, like, you know, 21st Century Studios, because this is under ownership of Disney. So you can see where the hesitation was with this film. But hey, there's nothing to worry about at all after having seen this. This installment fits perfectly with what has been released so far. Definitely captures and stays the course of what the narrative of the Planet of the Apes is all about. It did look as though the CG for the apes was held back a bit, but not enough to bother. But it keeps you immersed as to how this chapter will unfold. Great storytelling that doesn't waste any time with distracting, useless subplots. Even though I did, this is a bit of a nitpick. We're kind of throw into Noah's story. I mean, there's no build up to it, but I, you know, like I said, it's a nitpick. I guess this was the perfect way to, you know, just drop it because he's on like this, you know, coming of age quest with his village where they got to get an egg. That's the beginning of the movie. No spoilers, but it's like, come on. No, I want to see the starts of Noah. Come on, let's do it. But anyway, still a great movie. 4.5 out of 5, I'm giving it. Here we go with the last review.
Furiosa, we've come too far.
My world was forever changed. My mother was magnificent. And he took it all from me.
Who do we have here?
She's from a place of abundance. This is our destiny.
My childhood. My mother.
I want them back.
Whatever you have to do, however long it takes, promise you'll find your way home. Protect the green place.
It's time to take what's rightfully ours. Ready, steady, go!
If you find him, he's mine.
There will always be war, but to get home, Furiosa fought the world.
All right, Furiosa, Mad Max, starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, the origin story of a renegade warrior Furiosa before her encounter and team up with Mad Max. So it's a prequel, the last movie, Mad Max Fury Road, which, my gosh, I mean, look at the time. Almost 10 years ago. Yikes. Yeah, I remember the second Avengers film was like coming out shortly after that film over here. But hey, I got to hand it to George Miller. Okay. This dude is in his twilight years. still pushing out great stories with these films. In the other week, I did not know this, by the way. All right, this is going to be a funny story. All right, this is the guy who gave us Mad Max. Right, this is a character, a series of films that's been around since the 80s. And did you know that he also directed Happy Feet? Right, it's weird. It's like you're going to go back and watch that movie, and I'm like, I can see all the Mad Max in this Penguin Kid movie called Happy Feet. The reason I never really knew this because I only saw that movie once in theaters. But yeah, I mean, George Bell, he's got this range in direction. He can do it all, no matter the genre. But with Furiosa here, it's starting to show his age a bit. Maybe he should take it easy, maybe downtread a little bit. And don't get me wrong, this is a great action-packed world-building movie from start to finish, despite being a little bit wobbly with flow and with the story. And I kind of hate to say this, while I'm giving this movie some love, I really want you to go see this movie, but it's also probably going to annoy you to point out all the green screen CGI effects that it kind of cuts to. It's like, that's, ugh. And sad to say, I actually just found this out before talking about it. Some AI, AI effects were used on this movie. And we all know how I kind of feel about AI being in the movies. But other than that, despite all that criticism, it's still a great movie to watch in theaters. Have a blast. I've given it a 4 out of 5. So if we were to tally up the winners, it's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is the superior film this month of May. But hey, before we go, last thing to cover. So while we have somewhat good movies in the month of May, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and Furiosa, Mad Max, those are the top two. What happened to the summer blockbuster this past Memorial Day weekend? That's supposed to kick off the summer season of movies, and it was a bit of a downer. I mean, with Furiosa, Mad Max, you think, okay, that should have gained about 40 million? No, not even close. In fact, Garfield almost beats Furiosa, Mad Max. The worst movie out of this month almost beat one of the best movies out of this month. That says a lot, right? I think I have a theory as to why it flopped. Furiosa is a prequel film, and I think audiences are getting hit with a fatigue of some kind with all these reboots, remakes, new adaptations while being a retelling. Look at it, you Transformers 1, especially these prequels. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good prequel movie, but the thing is, we already know what happens. To me, that's why I hate prequel films, especially when it's on a character who meets their demise in the first ever film, but we're told their backstory. It's like, what's the point? We all know what's going to happen. See, what was that movie where the guy is living life back? I want to say Memento. Am I thinking about Memento? Hit me back in the comments section if I'm right or wrong. Correct me. Hey, getting back to the topic here. I mean, look at Star Wars. Look what Disney's doing with Star Wars. There is so much oversaturation with these new series coming out. And then those series, they'll take the popular characters and then make spinoffs off of them, which give birth to new characters. You're overflowing the bucket of what it's out. It's outpouring. It's getting all over the place. In fact, I remember a survey, this new gen of moviegoers, they want something original, not something that reboots a sitcom from the 70s that was popular at the time, but not anymore. They want something new, an original concept. So why is it so hard for Hollywood to, come up with such? It's probably, now this is my interpretation, but it's because if it's not profitable on sales outside of the movie, investors with the studio are just not interested. If it doesn't make toys, nope, not interested. If it doesn't make nice lunchboxes, not interested. Backpacks, clothing for kids, nope, not interested at all. But you see now how, that formula is working nowadays. So this is definitely going to leave them to, wonder, all right, where's the next course of action to go? Yeah, I'm sure they can figure it out, right? Who knows? But what do you think? You think we're facing the end of days for the summer blockbuster? I mean, has going to the theater, for you, started to feel like a chore? I hope not. I love the theater atmosphere. I never wanted to go away. So don't forget to support your local theater, all right? With that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. Hey, thanks for listening. All right, I'll catch you on the next episode, which I have no idea what it's going to be. What's coming out in June? Let's see. Oh, yeah, forgot. Next week, Bad Boys, Ride or Die, fourth film of the franchise. Yeah, let's see if I can get, hopefully, somebody. Yeah, Billy is just, he's just been too busy with his second line of work over there. But hey, if you want to come in on the show, definitely hit me up. I'm hanging out at tyler.woods at 106khq.com. Hey, you have a good weekend. Catch you later.